NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
In a speech at the State Department, President Biden laid out his foreign policy strategy today.
We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again, not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's.
One of the diplomatic challenges will be dealing with China.
You know, the whole relationship is on a knife's edge, really. I mean, which way are we going to go? I mean, in the last administration, we clearly were tipping over into the point of a new Cold War.
We'll dig deeper into how Biden's team will take on China. Plus, Beijing is already preparing to host the 2022 Winter Olympics. But is the world ready? It's Thursday, February 4th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. In his first foreign policy speech since taking office, President Biden said he would work to rebuild key democratic alliances to confront the world's challenges. He also said protecting human rights would be a top priority.
American leadership must meet this new moment of advancing authoritarianism, including the growing ambitions of China to rival the United States and the determination of Russia to damage and disrupt our democracy. We must meet the new moment, accelerating global challenges, from the pandemic to the climate crisis to nuclear proliferation, challenging the will only to be solved by nations working together and in common. We can't do it alone.
Coming up later in the show, we'll talk about the U.S.-China relationship. Lawmakers engaged in a hot debate in the House today ahead of a vote over whether to remove freshman Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene from the Budget and Education Committees over past social media comments embracing conspiracy theories about 9/11 and mass school shootings. In a speech on the floor, Greene said she regretted posts about the far right-wing network QAnon. Democrats said Greene's remarks fell short of an apology. Many Republicans warned against ousting Greene, calling it cancel culture and a dangerous precedent. We'll have more on the outcome of the vote on WSJ.com. New weekly jobless claims fell to 779,000, marking a third week of declines. Economists say the cold weather, a surge in COVID-19 cases, and the threat of new, highly contagious variants have contributed to a broader winter slowdown. We'll get a more detailed look at the labor market tomorrow with the release of the January jobs report. Researchers are studying the impact of mixing and matching COVID-19 vaccines. They hope to determine whether taking shots from different manufacturers could produce a more effective immune response and better protect against new virus strains. Our Jason Douglas said it could also help smooth out supply and distribution issues.
The hope is that if this mix and match strategy proves its worth in clinical trials, then it just kind of gives doctors more options whenever people come in for that second dose. So you can imagine some situations where it would be very practical if, for example, someone couldn't get to their surgery for a second dose because they were frail or something, but you could send them, you know, one of the more easily transportable vaccines instead. So someone living in a nursing home, for example. And it's also just lets doctors use whatever they happen to have on hand if they are suddenly confronted by supply issues whenever they're trying to do second doses.
Drug maker Merck has announced that CEO Kenneth Frazier will retire from the role at the end of June. Under his leadership, Merck became a leader in the emerging field of cancer immunotherapy. Frazier has led Merck since 2011 and is one of the few Black CEOs at S&P 500 companies. He's also encouraged companies to hire more Black employees. Frazier will be succeeded by Robert Davis, Merck's current Executive Vice President of Global Services and CFO. And voting machine company Smartmatic is suing Fox News for $2.7 billion in damages, alleging the network aired defamatory comments about the company's products after the presidential election. In a complaint, Smartmatic says segments on Fox News contained errors about the reliability of its technology and that the network knew they were false. In a statement, Fox News Media called the lawsuit meritless and said it would vigorously defend itself in court. Fox and Wall Street Journal parent company News Corp share common ownership. Coming up after the break, how the Biden administration will be tackling the tricky relationship with China.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
President Biden outlined his foreign policy goals today, and one of his biggest challenges will be the U.S. relationship with China.
We'll confront China's economic abuses, counter its aggressive, coercive action to push back on China's attack on human rights, intellectual property, and global governance. But we are ready to work with Beijing when it's in America's interest to do so. We will compete from a position of strength by building back better at home.
So how will he do that? Joining me now is Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis. He and the Wall Street Journal's Lingling Wei took a deep look at the battle between the U.S. and China under the Trump administration in their book Superpower Showdown. Hi, Bob. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Nice to be with you.
So, Bob, you've been following U.S.-China relations for a while. From what we know right now, how do you think the Biden administration's approach to China will differ from the Trump administration's?
Well, if you look at the Trump administration, basically what they did on China was all defensive, trying to stop Chinese influence, trying to stop Chinese technology, trying to actually undermine the Chinese economy in some direction. This administration will pick up on some of the defense, but also will go into what I would call an offensive mode, meaning that if you're worried about China overtaking the U.S. technologically and militarily, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, what is it that the U.S. needs to do? What technologies does the U.S. need to invest in? What kind of measures does the U.S. need to take domestically to help boost its economy so it is better positioned to compete with China? So I think that's the main difference.
So let's peel out some of these key issues here. The trade battle between the U.S. and China loomed really large under the Trump administration. How is the Biden administration likely to tackle this ongoing issue?
On trade, they're going to do their best to avoid it. You know, trade is such a divisive issue within the Democratic Party that it is sort of radioactive. And so I think on trade policy in particular, they'll do their best not to do anything. But when it comes to China, that's very difficult to do because the last administration left them with lots of decisions to make. For instance, do they continue the tariffs on 3/4 of everything that China ships to the U.S., or do they lift them, or do they lift some of them? Do they start a new round of negotiations on trade to try to deal with some of the issues like state-owned enterprises, subsidies, those sort of things that the last administration couldn't get to? I wouldn't expect anything soon. I wouldn't expect anything for months, actually, on tariffs, but they will have to make decisions in that regard.
On a different topic, addressing climate change is another big priority for the Biden administration, but there are different opinions on how to prioritize that issue within U.S.-China relations, even among top Biden administration officials. Can you explain some of those disagreements and differences of opinion?
Sure. I mean, the president has been very clear about what his top priorities are. They are improving the economy, dealing with the pandemic, and dealing with climate change. Climate change is just an overriding priority. The only way you're going to make progress on climate change is by getting cooperation from the Chinese. China is the largest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world. So to make any meaningful progress, it's impossible without China. So what does that mean, right? I mean, if you're John Kerry, former Secretary of State, the former Democratic Party presidential candidate, that's your mission. Your mission is to get an international climate deal. Your mission involves cooperation with China. Now, the question becomes, does cooperation with China on climate mean that the U.S. will ease off on other issues? The administration says, no, they won't. They understand. You know, you can do one thing on your left hand, another thing on your right hand. I mean, it's all well and good to say it. We'll see what happens when China tries to interlink the issues. So it's to be determined, but it's clearly an issue that could lead to some conflict within the administration about what to do.
Human rights is another big issue challenging the relationship between the U.S. and China. In the final days of the Trump presidency, the administration concluded that China is committing genocide and crimes against humanity against Uyghur Muslims. Secretary of State Tony Blinken has signaled he'll take a tough approach to China. Bob, what does that mean when it comes to addressing human rights abuses there?
Well, they've been pretty clear and pretty aggressive from the start. He has said, for instance, when it comes to Hong Kong, the Chinese crackdown on Hong Kong, he said that the U.S. should encourage or allow much more immigration of Hong Kong residents to the United States. That's something that the United Kingdom has said it will do as well, and something that clearly rankles China and is obviously a huge difference from the approach taken by the last administration, which didn't encourage immigration from anywhere. On Xinjiang, on the Chinese repression of Muslims in the western region called Xinjiang, Blinken several times has characterized that as genocide. That was a characterization that the last administration made on its very last days. And it's not just, you know, a description. I mean, it leads to other policies and other decisions they have to make.
So where are we now? How would you characterize the U.S. relationship with China?
Well, you know, the whole relationship is on a knife's edge, really. I mean, which way are we going to go? I mean, in the last administration, we clearly were tipping over into the point of a new Cold War, not one that was similar to the one the U.S. engaged in with the Soviet Union, not one that is marked essentially by a military confrontation between two nuclear-armed superpowers, armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. This one is quite different. It's more an economic and technological fight. But still, that's where things were with the last administration. The question for this administration and the question for Beijing is, do we continue on that path or do we retreat a bit and find more areas to cooperate on? You know, it's all up for grabs.
That's Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis. Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Sure, thank you.
And finally, speaking of China, the country is preparing to host the 2022 Winter Olympics, but Beijing is not a sure bet. Last year, organizers decided to push back the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo because of the pandemic. There are serious doubts that the torch will actually be lit this summer. In fact, there are even concerns that COVID could still be an issue for the 2022 Winter Games. Chinese officials and Olympic organizers have said they're confident the Games will take place. But preliminary competitions and training schedules have been disrupted, and the vaccine rollout is taking longer than expected. Our senior sports reporter, Rachel Bachman, says China has a lot riding on the Games taking place.
China has a considerable amount of prestige invested in hosting the Olympics. Chinese state media regularly boast that Beijing would be the first city to host both the Winter and Summer Games. Beijing hosted the Summer Games in 2008. And this is a big political coup for the Chinese government. And so certainly threats to these games being postponed or even canceled certainly would be a blow to the national identity of China.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.